Try this again. All right, a woman from a small southern town goes into the local newspaper office to see that the obituary for her recently deceased husband is written. The newspaper editor informs her that the fee for the obituary is $1 per word. She pauses, reflects, and then says, "Well then, just let it read, Billy Bob died." Amused at the woman's thrift, the editor says, "Sorry, ma'am, but there's a 7-word minimum on all obituaries." A little flustered, she thinks things over and replies, "In that case, let it read, Billy Bob died, red truck for sale." All right. Brother Dave, at least they're awake. I got them awake for you for tonight. You're good to go. Amen. All right. It's good to be back here once again. And if you're a visitor here this morning, I'd like to thank you and welcome you. I hope that the Lord will give you something from the Word of God. But especially if you're visiting here this morning and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my prayer would really be that this morning would be the morning you'd realize just what a great God we have, and that you'd turn your heart and really your soul over to the one that died to pay for it. Amen? Amen? Because that'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. But I basically have just, I suppose, two purposes in light of that here this morning. And I intend to be relatively brief and nothing too awful deep. My purpose here this morning is just, first, if you're lost, is obviously to show you the Lord Jesus Christ and to convince you that He is a mighty God, He is a great God, and hopefully get you thinking just about some decisions and things you made in your life and turn you towards Him. My second purpose is just simply this. Folks, in this church, in this congregation, and maybe even some of you that are saved that aren't a member of the church or aren't a regular attender here, we're getting ready to go through a revival coming up this week. And there's always a lot of, a lot of lead up to revival meetings. It's, you know, we noticed this pattern many, many years ago, and inevitably it's held true. But the basic thing that we've noticed is during this time of year and up leading towards revivals, our cup runneth over. Our plate winds up full. There's a lot that winds up going on in people's lives. We've got three of our youngsters getting ready to graduate, start their life, their journey, and, you know, it's a whole new world for them after this. They're adult, they're grown up, and they're ready to go. They're ready to take on the world. We've got kids that are finishing up the school year. We've got summer upon us, and most of you probably have your summer at least three-quarters of the way planned already. And we're scrambling to get ready for the meetings. You know, ladies are cleaning houses, men, I don't know, maybe you're changing the oil on your car, I don't know, what, mowing the lawn, whatever, hopefully you're praying. But to tell you the truth, you know, we, like the Thessalonians, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, have had our fair share of tragedies, turmoils, and different things that have affected us. We've lost loved ones leading up towards these meetings. We've come close to losing some loved ones. There's been a couple we've been scared about. Of course, Pastor gave us quite a scare with his stroke, and that's caused all of us to step back and just kind of, you know, reevaluate things. And in a way, that's good. You know, we have to look at where we are and who we are as individuals and where we are as Christians and as a congregation. In addition, this was the notes I was looking for in Sunday school. I knew I had them down here somewhere. I had them on my morning sermon, not on my Sunday school lesson. But in addition to you know, the obvious trials, there's been a lot of things going on that, you know, some people aren't aware of. But the blessing is, folks, that the Lord has not only been faithful through it all, but He's been good. He's been good. He stood by our side, and He's given us, you know, a vision and a hope, and He's given us, you know, the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. And the Lord has been good through all this, and that's a grand thing. And Like I said in Sunday school this morning, there's a couple of verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that really apply to the church. And it just says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." And now here we set, getting ready to go into a series of meetings starting on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Brother Dave, 7 o'clock. Getting ready to start this series of meetings. And you know what we're after? Folks, we're after what's going to happen next. Amen? We're after, where's the Lord going to take us next? And it's a question that, you know, that we all have to face. But what is going to happen next? Where is the Lord going to take us? And I'd just like to address that very quickly in three short little points this morning. Like I said, probably have you done and out of here for lunch in short order. But if you will, open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, we'll take a look down and we'll start in verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and seek, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the book that you've given us. Father, for the instruction that we can find contained within it. I do pray that you would, again, open up these words to our hearts. Father, that you would be able to encourage us. And Lord, help us to realize the path that we're on. And Father, the fact that we've got decisions in life we need to make. And Father, I just pray that you would prepare us for the series of meetings that are coming up. And Lord, that we would be open and tender and honest with ourselves in dealing with you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, obviously here in Jeremiah, the Lord's God is trying to get through to the nation of Israel. It's pretty evident that in Jeremiah's day, most of the people had little to no regard for what the Lord wanted in their lives. And I know that in general is not the case here within the congregation, and that's a good thing. But in general, that is the case for most of the folks out in the world. Folks don't really care and don't really, let's just say that following the Lord's path is not high on the list of their priorities. They want to go around, they want to do their own thing. Look at verse 10 real quick. Verse 10 says, To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Well, I'll tell you what, this congregation right here is somebody that the Lord should speak to and give warning. You know what? This congregation will hear. Amen? That's what we're here for. To whom shall I speak and give warning? We're getting ready to go into these series of meetings. And there's a whole lot of things going on out there in the world that are just, you know, they're shameful. They really are. And the Lord asks in Jeremiah, To whom shall I speak? And I'd like to raise my hand and say, Lord, could you talk to me? Lord, could you talk to me? I'd like to listen. I said earlier that I've basically got two quick purposes that I have here this morning, and one is, if you're here and you're lost, is to show you the Lord Jesus Christ, and hopefully amongst the sermon and some of the verses, hopefully you get the idea that Jesus Christ really is a great God, that He did come down to this earth, died on the cross, and He suffered for your sins. And hopefully that you'll come to the realization that, you know, without the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is really hopeless. There is no hope. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're bound for an eternal hell in a lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever, where the worm dieth not. But a lot of folks in this congregation right now are saved. And my purpose this morning is just to help get us ready for the meetings. Just to help get us ready for the meetings. And that's what I'm gonna. That's what I intend to do. Look at Jeremiah 6 once again, and take a look down at verse 16. And this is what I'd like to concentrate on here this morning. Verse 16: Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And the most common title when you come to this passage of Scripture is just basically, seek ye the old paths. Amen? Seek ye the old paths. And that's what I titled this morning. And I just have three simple questions I'd like you to think about today, this morning, but especially between now and Wednesday when we start our meetings. Three simple questions, and that the first question is just simply this. What is your direction right now? What is your direction right now? The Lord in Jeremiah 6:16 said, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way. You see, in our text and in the book of Jeremiah, the nation of Israel was not on the right path. Back in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5, God asked Israel a question. He said, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? God just asked them simply a question. He said, okay, what have I done wrong that would cause you to decide not to walk in my path? Amen? You see, the folks in Israel, they had their own plan for their life. They wanted to do things their own way. We got three youngsters who are getting ready to graduate right now. And you know one of the things that you're going to find out? You're going to find out that even though you think you've got a lot of liberty and ability to make decisions now on your own, you're going to wind up with a lot more as time goes by. And not only are you going to have that added responsibility, but you're going to have to face the added consequences as well. You see, the folks in the nation of Israel, they had a plan for their life. They knew what they wanted to do. They knew where they wanted to go. They were living life their way. They knew what they were doing. To them, everything was under control. There's a couple of guys a few years ago that went out on a multi-day dive trip. And they were advanced. They were advanced divers, very experienced. And they had taken the trip, and they had been diving for several days in a row. And the last day of their trip, they went down, and they were diving a 600-foot-long shipwreck that was down at about 150 feet at depth. So, wow. Doesn't work when you turn two pages. The seas were a little rough when they started. And one of them was kind of had flu-like symptoms, and so, you know, he wasn't feeling very well. I don't know if it was seasickness and the waves or whatever, but he started off on the dive, and he wasn't feeling very well. And they sat down, and you know what they came up with? And you do this before every dive. They came up with a plan. They came up with a plan on how they were going to conduct that dive. And their plan was pretty simple, and their plan was pretty reasonable. And that is simply this. They were going to jump off the boat, go over to the anchor line that went down to the shipwreck. They were going to follow that line down to the bow or the front of the boat. and they were going to start their dive there. They were going to swim towards the back, the stern of the boat, which is about 600 feet away. They were going to turn around, come back to the bow of the boat, back to the line, and head up to the ship on the surface. And it was a pretty solid plan. But they got down to the bottom, about 150 feet down, and one of the things they ran across was something that was a little bit unexpected. They ran across a pretty serious current underwater. And I don't know if any of you have ever been in a river or been in the ocean where you've got a riptide or tried to swim against a current, but swimming against a current is very difficult. So they got down to the bottom, and they're down about 150 feet below the surface of the water. And in order to make the swim a little bit easier, they decided to swim in the direction of the current. And in order to make the dive even a little bit easier, one of them took his extra bottle that he had attached to him with oxygen in it and took it off and set it at the line so that when he came, he wouldn't have to carry it around during the dive. It was too much of a burden. It was, you know, the current. And so he set it down at the line so that when they came back, he would be able to take it. And on his way up the line, he would be able to use that bottle for his decompression stops. Again, not completely unheard of. They do that all the time in diving. So they had a plan. They had a plan. And everything, folks, everything was going great. They got off the ship. They headed down the line. The guy dropped his bottle off. They took off swimming in the direction of the current. They went down. They got down to the stern of the ship. And folks, everything was going according to plan. But if you're here this morning, and you're lost, you know, your life is a lot that way. You're kind of like those divers. Maybe you've got a plan for your life, and, you know, you've started off life and you've headed your own way and you've done your own thing. And you know what? There's a time where things are going to go pretty well. Graduates, those of you that are just graduating life. Not only do we have three high school graduates here in the congregation here this morning, but we also have one college graduate this morning. Somebody just recently graduated from college as well. And the thing is you got a plan for your life. And these two gentlemen went down and they executed their plan and they headed off. And you know what? Initially, their dive plan went just fine. They made it back to that ship. Everything was going fine. They were 600 feet back. And if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you may be in the same condition. You know, there may be some things that you've done, you've wanted to accomplish in life, and you head off and you've taken life by the horns, and you know what? You think everything's going fine. But it doesn't always work out that way. You may swim life according to your plan, but you know what? There are some principles involved that you need to remember that'll change your plan. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Maybe you're sitting here this morning, and maybe you're a Christian. And you know what's easy to do as a Christian? What's easy to do as a Christian is the same thing that these two gentlemen on this dive were guilty of. And that is, they had been through several days in a row of diving shipwrecks and doing these things time and time again. And you know what they got? They got complacent. They got a little complacent. And to them, the routine of doing this over and over and over again, they missed some basic principles on this particular dive that would have saved them a lot of trouble. Now, we've just been through an awful lot and, you know what, had a lot of victories along the way. And we're getting ready to go into the revival. We're getting ready to start these new series of meetings. And you know what we have to watch as a Christian as we go into these new series of meetings? We chose the right path in the Lord Jesus Christ to begin with. We chose Jesus Christ as our Savior. We obtained salvation. We went to Him in faith. We put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And guys, that put us on the right path for an eternal heaven. And if you're lost here this morning, that's the decision you have to make. That's the path that you have to make. But as a Christian, we went through life sometimes and you're walking down the path, and if you're not careful, folks, you can have victory after victory after victory after victory, or in this case, successful dive after successful dive after successful dive, and you can wind up being experienced and advanced and know what you're doing in the Christian life, and then you can get complacent. You can get complacent. See, the question is simply, what direction are you going? As a lost person, you need to be on the path of salvation. But as a Christian, we need to be on the path the Lord Jesus Christ wants us walking. And we need to be careful not to be complacent because we've experienced victories and then walk off the path. Those of you that are graduating, you've got a lot of life ahead of you. You got a lot of different ways to go. You have a lot of decisions to make. You have a lot of things that are really in your face and ready to conquer. And you know what you have to be careful of? You have to be careful that you stay on the right path. You have to watch your direction. You have to watch your direction. You see, normally when you do a dive like this and you get down at depth and you start evaluating the conditions of the bottom, and you got current going, normally, folks, you start your dive by swimming against the current. And that kind of worked out pretty neat as just some good advice for Christian life too, right? Amen? Graduates, you know what you ought to do? You know what you ought to do as you prepare and you get ready to take off and take life by the horns and you get ready to conquer all your dreams and your hopes in this life? You know what you ought to start doing? One of the basic principles in a dive like this is you start the dive against the current. You say, I don't like swimming against the current. Who does? You say, swimming against the current takes too much energy. It's too hard to be that kind of a Christian. It does take energy. But one of the basic principles in a dive like this is you start the dive against the current. One of the basic principles in your Christian life is start your life against the current. Don't go the way the world is going. Don't go the way the world is going. You start your dive against the current, against the natural flow of water. You start against the natural flow. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men." You guys, are you keeping up with the news? Have you heard the story of that high school in Osseo? High school in Osseo, they're getting ready to have their prom. In fact, they may have just had it. But they're getting ready to have their prom, and some of the administrators came down and adopted a new set of rules for the high school students at the prom. And they adopted a little bit of a dress code. You know, you have to wear a dress so long and so high or whatever, because they were having a lot of problems. And they came up with one particular rule that wound up just going in the face of all the students, and they absolutely hated it. And the rule was simply this. During the dance, when you're out on the dance floor, we'll have no grinding. You got 225 punks who are really up in arm about this. I'm sorry, 255. At least. And they're angry, and they're mad. And one of them, his response was simply this: that's the way we all dance. You see, graduates, you're getting ready to take off and head off into life. Christians, you're getting ready, we're getting ready to go into this revival, and there's things that we just have to stop and do a double take and ask ourselves, what direction am I going? What direction am I going? These gentlemen were very experienced divers. They knew what they were doing. They were decompression divers. And you know what they did? They got complacent because they had had a series of victories. They let down their guard. They got down to 150 feet below the water, and they decided to swim with the current. And you know what? That initial decision was so easy. Drop off my O2 tank, swim with the current. I don't know if you guys have ever swam with the current underwater like that, but you almost don't even have to kick. You just kind of sit there, and the current takes you along, and you get to see all kinds of neat stuff. And you know what? You don't realize what's happening. Hey, what direction are you going? One of the assistant principals at Osseo High School was being interviewed, and he said, you know what? He said 95% of the teenagers in the last two dances that we had have broken this rule. That's not that much to ask. No grinding during the dance. He didn't say you couldn't go to prom. He said no grinding. But they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't have it. A bunch of these students got mad. They got irate. I'll show these people who they think they are telling me what to do. Yeah, who they think they are. You know what they did? They refused to go to their own prom. They went and rented a boat. They're going to have their own dance on the boat without school supervision. Say, what direction are you going? What direction are you going? Folks, it's, you know, God told the children of Israel, said, seek ye the old path. Find the good way. Find the good way. You're getting ready to start life. Graduates, you're getting ready to start life. This wasn't supposed to be a graduate sermon. It just kind of turned out that way. We're getting ready to start life and make all these decisions yourself. You know what you got to do? One of the basic principles is you got to go against the current. You got to go against the current. Because these two gentlemen, they got down 150 feet below the water. The one took his decompression oxygen, set it down, intending to get it on his way back, and they started swimming with the current, 600-foot-long ship. Jude 1:11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. And remember Proverbs 14, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. The way seemed right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Hey, what direction are you going in? If you're lost here this morning, you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll tell you what, you got to get on the right path, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. If you're a Christian here this morning, maybe you've had victory after victory after victory, success after success after success after success. You know what path you got to be on? The right path. You're on the right path. But you know what you got to be careful of? You got to be careful of getting complacent and falling off the path. The second question that I ask for you this morning is not just what direction are you going, but hey, what is your decision? What is your decision? Listen, there's only two paths. There's the Lord Jesus Christ's path, and there's the devil's path. If you're lost, you're on the devil's path. And you have to decide whether you want to change or not, and I would encourage you to do that. I know most of you are saved here this morning, so that's kind of what I'm going to concentrate on. But the path for a Christian is just as difficult to stay on. And you got to watch and make sure you don't get complacent. You see, God wanted Israel to follow the good path. But the children of Israel refused. The world's path is a lot easier to begin with. It's a lot easier. It's much easier to swim with the current. And you know who you are? Hey, you know, teens, graduates, and Christians alike. You know who you are? What you are is you are a compilation of the decisions that you made in your life. The decisions that you make in your life determine who you are and who you're becoming. You see, all too often, we don't see the consequences until it's too late. So our two divers start their dive, and they head on down. They're 600 feet now away from the line on the bow, and it's time to turn around. Well, remember I told you you should really go against the flow? As a Christian, that's good advice too. In diving, that could be the difference between life and death. They chose the easy path. They went with the flow. Now they're 600 feet down the ship, at the stern, at the back end of the ship, and now they turn around, and now they've got to swim back. Well, they're not as fresh as they were when they first started. They're not as strong as they were when they first started. And now they've got to start fighting the current. And they start to fight the current coming back, and they realize something real quick. You know what? This is a lot worse than what I thought it was. And they had some decisions to make. They made an initial wrong decision by choosing to go the easy way, the world's path. Now they're having to face the consequences of that decision, and that involves more decisions. They're facing the current, now they're having to swim against the current, they're tired, it's not working, they decide to go up. They decide to go ahead and surface. So they start to surface, or they start to head up, and then, oh, the guy realizes, wait a minute. I left my decompression bottle back at the other end. I need that bottle. And one bad decision leads to a second bad decision. Teens, graduates, this is how life goes. If you're not careful, this is how life goes. You are the summation of your decisions. So now they're down here at the stern end of the boat. They started to head up. They realize, oh, I need that bottle. They go back down and they start swimming against the current back towards the bow of the ship. About halfway there, the inevitable happens. One of them starts breathing so hard because he's fighting the current, and he starts over-breathing his regulator, and he's got to stop and slow down and take a break. And there's some miscommunication that goes on there, and the buddy, the partner, continues swimming towards the bow of the ship, and he then just stops and heads down towards the bottom to rest. So he drops down to the bottom, and he winds up in the sand. And he catches his breath. All right, catches his breath, and he decides, okay, I'm ready. And he starts to take off for the bow of the ship again. Only he becomes disoriented. He becomes disoriented because down there the sand looks the same in all directions. Right? And what he winds up doing, and guys, you're getting ready to head off in life, this is what happens. You become disoriented, you make a bad decision, you make another bad decision, now you're stuck, you got to stop, you got to take a break. All of a sudden, now you decide to finish your course, and you make another bad decision, and he winds up swimming in a circle, swims and swims and swims, he loses direction, and he winds up back at the back of the boat again, 600 feet away from his bottle. Life's all about decisions. And in scuba diving, one of the things that I learned is, you know what? When you start making wrong decisions, no matter how small they are at the beginning, that thing will snowball on you. The domino effect happens, and you'll make one bad decision after another, after another, after another, after another, and the next thing you know, you're where this guy winds up. So now he's gotten completely lost, disoriented, turned around. He thought he was swimming to the front of the ship. He winds up at the back of the ship, and now he's got to make a decision again. What do I do? You are the summation of your decisions. God told the Israelites back there in Jeremiah, he said, walk in the old paths. Seek the old path. Find the good way. And they said, we will not walk therein. We will not walk therein. They made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And I would venture to say there was even a time or two along the way where some of them were trying to make the right decision, but got turned around, disoriented, and wound up in the wrong place. So he winds up back 600 feet away once again at the stern of the ship, and he's faced with a decision, what do I do now? And guys, this will happen to you in life. This is how life works. This is how the Christian life works if you're not careful. You start making bad decisions, one after the next, after the next, after the next. God said, seek ye, find the old path, the good way. And too often, we don't look for that path. We don't stay on that path. We get complacent sometimes, Christians, because we've had victory after victory after victory after victory. And we just assume the next thing is going to be a victory. And so we let our guard down. These guys were experienced. They knew what they were doing. They're not novices. They're good divers. So he's down there, 150 feet. And, you know, I've told you about narcosis before. That's a whole other story. But so he's down there, 150 feet, and his judgments are kind of affected. So he decides once again, this time I'm going to stay close to the ship. I'm going to head back. And he starts heading back towards the front of the ship so he can get to his oxygen bottle. He needs it for decompression. He gets halfway back. He runs out of air. I don't care how good of a swimmer you are. You're not going to make 300 feet on one breath. One of the training classes that I did, I had to do 50 foot. Blindfolded, underwater, out of air. Swim 50 feet following a line. And then tell my instructor I was out of air and take 50 feet's a long way. He had 300 more feet to go. He was faced with another decision. Teens, you know, graduates, hey, this is where you are in life. One decision leads to another decision, leads to another decision, leads to another decision. Now you're back. Now he's 300 foot. Now he's out of air. And he's faced with another decision. What do I do? So he shoots to the surface. What I forgot to tell you is when he was back there down at the stern of the ship, he looked down at his dive computer, which tells you how long you have to stay underwater for decompression, and his dive computer read 99 minutes. That's because there's only two digits on it. So best case scenario, he had 99 minutes worth of decompression time that he had to stay underwater for. Now he heads back, he's out of air, he shoots to the surface. Guys, that's what the devil will do to you if you don't walk on the right path. You make wrong decisions in life, that's what the devil would love to do to you. The devil would love to get you halfway back in the middle of the boat, out of reach of your life support, and then cut your air supply off on you. That's what the devil would like to do. And so the Lord tells Israel back in Jeremiah, he says, walk in the right path. Find the old path. You know, the way your parents did it. The old path. If they did it right. The way that the people in the Bible did it. Find the old path. That is the path that God laid down. Not like the students at Osseo. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't like the path that they laid for me. I'm going to go do my own thing. You can do that. And swimming with the current when you start sure seems awful easy. And very non-threatening. But when you got to come back, it's another story. It's another story. Now maybe you're sitting there, in your Christian life right now. Maybe you're sitting there in life just in general, and you know what? You've wanted to make decisions your own way. I'm telling you, it's not the time to do that, brethren. It's not the time to do that. If you're lost this morning, listen, you need to decide the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your decision. If you're saved, Maybe you have experienced victory after victory after victory after victory. We're getting ready to head into these series of meetings. We're getting ready to go into what we call a revival. You know what that revival is supposed to be about, folks? It's supposed to be about reminding us what is the right path. It's supposed to be about reminding us what are the basic things that I need to take care of in order to stay on the path for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we get complacent as Christians, we'll forget the basics. Our Bible reading, our prayer time. Right? Coming to church just won't be that important to you anymore. Fellowship with the brethren won't be that important to you anymore. Your personal testimony and your walk with the Lord won't be that important to you anymore. We'll get complacent like those divers and make a mistake. And instead of going against the current, we'll go with the current. But inevitably, you've got to turn around. In Joshua 24, a very famous passage, 24, Joshua said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I got one last final question, and then we'll close down and go home and get some lunch. And that is just simply this. Folks, what's your destination? What's your destination? Now, the destination of our two divers was not what you may be afraid of. They didn't die. They didn't die. The one guy that wound up, you know, being unaware of where his buddy was and headed back to the ship to begin with, made it back to the line, went up, did his decompression, got on the boat. The other guy, who wound up getting lost and turned around and wound up back at the rear of the ship again, and then decided to make the journey one more time to the front of the ship, got halfway through, ran out of air, and then shot to the surface, he made it to the surface. He made it to the surface, but he obviously, as you would expect, experienced some very severe case of the bends, decompression sickness, decompression illness. In fact, his case was so bad that he was basically paralyzed when he hit the surface from the chest down. He hit the surface and he was paralyzed from the chest down. Very common in severe cases of decompression sickness. They grabbed him and got him out of the water and airlifted him to a decompression chamber. And, got him there in time and were able to save his life. And after several months of rehabilitation, he got over it. Let me ask you this, folks. What's your destination? See, the Lord a lot of times is very, very gracious with us, even when we make mistakes and even when we make dumb decisions. It doesn't mean there's not consequences, and the guy could have lost his life, could have wound up paralyzed for the rest of his life. The Lord's gracious, and he was able to recover. And maybe you're sitting here, maybe you're a Christian this morning, and maybe you've made a lot of bad decisions along the way. Maybe you've made decisions in your life that have taken you, and you've gotten turned around and backtracked, and you wound up at the rear of the ship, and you decided to make another try for the oxygen bottle up at the front. You got halfway there, and the devil just cut the rug out from under you. Maybe that's what's happened to you. The Lord's gracious and can pull you through even that. See, your destination depends on the path you choose. If you're lost, your destination is heaven or hell. Or your destination, the choice that you have to make is heaven or hell. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, or will you keep going on the path that you've always been on? If you're saved, the path is really just following God's will. It's doing God's will. Are you going to backslide and veer off of the path? Right? Graduates, you get your own life, you get your own freedom, you get to make your own decisions, you get to make your own money, you get to spend it how you want. You got probably going to have nobody telling you what time you have to or don't have to be back at the house. All these things are now freedoms. You know what the Lord told the children of Israel? Hey, what sin did I commit that's your fathers aren't following me? What did I do so bad? And God asks that question. What did I do so bad that you would reject me and follow the path of the devil? First Corinthians 2:9 just simply says this. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I'll wrap things up here. God told Israel simply this, walk in the old and good paths. Now these two divers, they're kind of like Christians in the sense that you have success after success after success. And it's easy for us to get complacent. It's easy for us to maybe miss a basic fundamental in our Christian walk and wind up in a place we don't want to be in. And I guess the thing I would say this morning to you, getting ready for this revival, don't forget the basic fundamentals of Christianity. Go against the current to start. Go against the current. If you found yourself as a Christian swimming with the current, folks, there's trouble down the road. There's trouble down the road. If you're lost, swim against the current. Because that current will take you to hell. Turn around, swim against that current. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So this illustration kind of is a good example, folks, of what we need to remember. We're getting ready to go into revival to remind us of the basics, to remind us of where we're going, to make sure we do the simple things, do them right, and don't get complacent. We've had too many victories to get complacent. Plan your Christian walk well. Let's take our hymnals. We'll stand. We'll turn to number 437. Number 437. And I'd just like you to ask yourself what direction you're going, what path you're on. What type of decisions have you made? And where's your destination? As we sing, if you need to get maybe some preparation work done for the revival meetings coming up, now would be a good time. It'd be a blessing to go into those meetings with a clear heart, a mindset on doing right, and a good conscience. Amen. Sing number 437. Amen, folks. Be dismissed. Remember, there's some food and stuff in the back. Please help yourselves to that. And service at 6 o'clock tonight. Amen. Dismissed.